I can't understand it. I don't know why. Galena's probably the only town in Alaska that's in the real estate business. It saddens me. In the terms of selling stock in 91, we don't know what we're going to do. I've been authorized by the president to hold meetings with the native councils so we can talk about these issues, so we can get a feeling for these issues. We can't wait for your commission, or we can't wait for the AFN. We're just got to go do it ourselves. We don't know what form this is going to take, but I'm under the opinion myself is that those 100 shares of stock are meaningless. I don't know why they did it. I don't feel bad about devaluing it, because it's just another form of native enrollment. In terms of our protections, like fire protections, 16 years down the road, all of our land in Caltech are going to be without fire protections. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know who's going to pay for it after the fire protections are extinguished. But I know one thing. It's a final settlement. They're not going to come back and give you a freebie. You have to pay. So if we want to trade in, I mean, if we want to get some of those buffers back, some of those protections, we're going to have to trade off part of our settlement to get it. And we don't know what that final thing is going to be yet. We just hope it'll come out on the top end of it. I thought maybe that I would present this commission with a couple copies of exactly how far the government is and within the state, the federal government, on the management of our lands, and the federal government in Washington. It's an atrocious. They want to make servitudes of us. They want to put us in the same situation of removing us, separating us from our families, and putting us in a pen. I sort of weaken every time I think about the Land Claims Act. I know how fragile it is. I've spent 10 years working at it. Changed my life. I used to be a construction man. My other land employee used to be an electrician. Roger Huntington used to be an electrician. Sidney Huntington used to be an employee over there. This Land Claims Act changed all of our lives. Well, that's all I got to say.
This is a statement of Beverly Hundorf.
Thank you.
Read yes. By her husband, Max Hundorf.
June 20, 1984, from Beverly Hundorf, Galena, Alaska. The Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement Act has had a good overall effect on Alaska and Alaskans. From the very beginning, like most Alaskans, I was a spectator rather than a participant in the movement. It's not that I didn't support the concept, just that I felt there were others who were more qualified than I to do it. To this day, I'm still only watching. There are numerous questions that still need answers, and there are those who are still leading the way to solve these problems and questions as we go. The Act has been good for Alaska because of the economic benefits that it has brought to every area of Alaska. We have all benefited in that way. Although we as individuals have not become instant millionaires, it has forced us to think of ourselves, our surroundings, our lifestyle, our businesses, our families, our educational systems in a different light. It has given us a different perspective. It is causing us to seek more education. For ourselves and for our children. It is forcing us to look at our land from a business point of view. We aren't always happy with what we see, but we are forced to grow. It's forcing us to try to understand the basic civil laws pertaining to our lands. We have always used the land and taken it for granted. But now we are learning to place a more different kind of value on the land and to appreciate it more. It is forcing us to try to think, work, and function in the world of business and corporations, such as learning to read financial statements and so on. One area of the Act that I would like to see immediate change in is the area of the elders. It should be changed to allow the elders, if they choose, to sell their stock back to the corporations. In this way, they would realize something tangible from the Act. I am proud that our Alaska Natives have been world leaders in this fight for self-determination. What we got may not be the perfect document, but we have been the cause for change. And the only cause can only bring good for all that it touches. It's the end.
Thank you, Mrs. Hundorf. Did we keep that?
My name is Royce Purinton. My home has been in Lotto for the last 12 years. My wife and oldest daughter is a stockholder from the Lotto in Gunnayu, and my youngest child is not a stockholder. I'd like to talk about three things in particular. The first thing is children born after 1971, the ANSCA non-stockholders. I'll be expressing my wife's view on this. Secondly, I'd like to talk about taxation of land after 1991. And at that point, I'd be expressing both my own and hers point of view. And the third thing I'd like to talk about is ANSCA 14C3 selections, which are city selections. With the ANILCA modification when ANILCA was passed. Under the first topic, Native children born after ANSCA, my wife's feeling is quite strong that they should also be stockholders. The feeling is that this separation is a split within the Native family and not within the Native tradition. The second point is the taxation of, well, I say, undeveloped land after 1991. My wife and I both feel that the undeveloped corporation land should not be taxed after 1991. And the main reason for this is subsistence. And at this point, I will mention the last 4 or 5 years I've been very active. I'm currently the local chairman, the chairman of the local advisory fish and game committee, vice chairman of the Interior Regional Council set up under ANILCA. And so I'd like to talk at this point about the reason why I feel that subsistence, this untaxing of undeveloped land, is needed. And I will just mention what subsistence means, at least to myself. No one agrees really on what it is. But my own definition is living there, and I'm talking about in the villages, in particular in Nalato, without long-term steady work, with the necessity of taking wildlife to provide enough food and clothing for your family. And this is what I mean by subsistence. Subsistence living, and this is still a necessity, especially in the smaller villages of Caltag, Nalato, and Koyokuk in particular, requires large areas of land to be undeveloped in any substantial way. If you have taxation of large areas of land, this almost requires the land be developed in some sense to make money to pay the taxes, at least. But the developed land is not subsistence land. The subarctic does not stand heavy exploitation very well. So the only solution and recommendation that I and my wife have come to, personally, is that there should be no tax on undeveloped corporation land in 1991. This would at least give the corporation the opportunity of providing for subsistence in the older way. The third point is ANSCA 14C3. Pat Sweetser has already mentioned this. What this section says, and I'll paraphrase it rather than read it out of the journal, is that a certain amount of land should be transferred from the village corporation to the city for the development of the municipality, the city. And at first it was 1,280 acres minimum. And it was amended under ANILCA to be less than this. Under this, I'll also mention that I currently the land negotiator for the city of Nalato. I'm not speaking for the council, but I'm speaking for myself. And I'm not representing them. But I have been involved with them. I'm a member of the newly formed Land Planning and Zoning Committee for the City Commission. But some of the problems that I see as sort of an insider-outsider, I think Pat indicated the corporation's position seems, at least to me, that they have the land. It is village corporation land. They would prefer not to give any land to the city. From the city's point of view, it seems, how can the city develop land if the corporation's position is, wherever you select land for development, we want half of it? To me, I see a basic problem here under the land settlement, under ANILCA. Pat mentioned that other places have settled for less than the 1,280 acres. And yet then they seem to have problems when they wish to develop the city in other directions. So I see a problem with this, and I have no answer for this. It's a problem that needs to be worked out, and that's all I have to say.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Parrington. Thank you very much. Fine.
My name is Donna Eric, and this is my own personal opinion. I work for the Town of Chiefs here as a sub-regional director in Galena. But I've worked around the land claims since before land claims started. And it took me 28 years, one life cycle, to get back to where my blood is from. And by working around land claims people and before the land claims was written, I learned from the lawyers themselves that it was to my own advantage to enroll to Nulato, where my blood is from. So I did, and I'm happy that I did. But today, my husband and I are getting house logs, and there isn't even a place where I can put my house yet. Between the city and the corporation and whoever else owns land in Nulato, there isn't anything available today. It'll take a while. It's going to be a while. And I'm a shareholder there. I expect to have land. I believe what Charlie had to say is true, that the land was not written to the land claims to be sold or given away or for anybody's ownership, that nobody owns the land, that God gave it to us to use. And other corporations,
Indian law.
Yes, other corporations are doing that, one in particular. It is their own people got together and decided the same thing. What was the land claims written for, and what are their own values? And they decided to convince enough of their own shareholders to vote to never sell the land. It'll never be sold. They have free use, shareholders have free use of their lands within their city boundaries. Other people have to pay for lease. Right. They cannot sell it. It'll never be sold. And it's continuous use for the ones who are born and the ones for future, for the ones that are here today. I really see a problem with the 14C lands. I can't stand it. I just can't stand to see that all the land is being sold right inside the villages where the native land claims what was written for. This spring, when they talked about the land lots being sold up here, the open lottery for a bid, there was one native person out of 12 or so who received one of those bids, who had enough money to bid high enough to bid for one.
That was land put up for bid by the city of Galena.
Right. And when I saw the list, they're all transient peoples or peoples with big jobs here who got the land. And it wasn't the shareholders from this area who are. We're going to have to move out into the boonies somewhere to even claim any land somewhere to be able to put anything down. I feel like a lot of history has gone around in circles since America has started. 200 years, the laws change every day, all the time. It doesn't matter if it's state or federal. They change all the time. I believe land claims can be changed today. They do it every day. They give it and they take it back. I believe that the schools and the churches have caused a little, I don't know what the word is, assimilation. They just all gathered them all into one place, and then laws were written after that of how to get away their lands that are out here in the country of where they all had to come from their trapping grounds and their fishing camps and things like that. They had to leave them to send their kids to school. Laws were written to make sure that their kids were in school. I don't have anything against education at all. I think it's great. I think a lot of our young people in this area especially are getting a great education. This area has almost 50% of the young people that are being educated out of the Doyon region going to school, and more are becoming successful. But I wanted to remind you about those native youth from Gamble or Sabunga or somewhere, an island, that all received ratings as geniuses. I believe every native person is a genius because it's born into them of how to move and flow with the earth. When they get into a desperate situation, they automatically respond. They don't even have to think about things. They just do it. And they're saving themselves or lives. I'll always trust a native person to save my life. Whereas I wouldn't get into a boat or something with a non-native person, to tell you the truth, to protect my life, because I'm scared of the Yukon River or any other river. I know that it can eat you up. Any land can eat you up anywhere you go, not just the Yukon River in southeast Alaska, maybe up in the Gwich'in country too can eat you up, or anywhere. I'll always trust my life to a native person who's lived with the land more than anyone else. I believe that the education has to also go along with the elders, that we have to listen to what our elders have to say. They're smarter than any of us put together. I feel bad sometimes when people look down at them or don't understand them, and they're really right. I was very dissatisfied with our own Doyon this spring when we had the Elders Conference right here in Galena. The Elders Conference was supposedly born so that the Doyon Board of Directors would have somebody to listen to look to get advice from. But I didn't see our Board of Directors sitting there in the Elders Conference, the third annual Elders Conference representing the whole Doyon region. They sent three staff, or two staff and one board. I was real dissatisfied with that. But I enjoyed the Elders Conference, and I listened. I think a lot of laws like the limited entry permit system were written to be able to gain financial power over the fish, that every native family should have had one. They fished all their lives, but they didn't know how to fill out the little piece of paper to be able to be qualified to be a limited entry holder. But every native family on this Yukon River should have been entitled to one. Same with native allotments. The people just really never understood that it's going to get to this day that we're dividing up the land into lines and boundaries. And they didn't file for their native allotment. They just continued to use the place, what would have been their native allotment, till they died. And their families are finding that some of their ground that they used is not claimed anywhere. They lost it. I'm sad about some of the laws on the refuges that are a result of the Land Claims Act. The cabin permits, there's cabins out there, but they only allowed so many members of a family to be listed on their permits. This is something that they just wrote into the law. I don't know how they thought of these things, but they all discussed it. They told me about it themselves when they were in a big meeting in Anchorage with the refuge people, managers. That they put it in there that they would only allow so many people to be listed in a permit per family. And that if you had 12 people in your family, they couldn't all be listed to gain control of that place as you died off. And as you die off, nobody can be added on. So the cabin is to the refuge. It's not to the family anymore in just a short lifetime or one round of dying in a family. I think that a lot of the sharing that we're always talking about, Native people always do share, and I know that our people here do. But there wasn't really a lot of unity. The laws and all the things that have happened to people nowadays, they are all having to fight for everything and be deceiving to be able to gain some things or not. I feel like that the Native corporations in the state of Alaska have not really shared with each other their ideas or assisted the next guy in how to not make the same mistake that they did here and there, whatever the mistake may have been. I feel like that the board of directors of the corporations did not share with their own people what is going on in the corporation, or they say 95% of the people don't know what ANSCA is or what it's done for them or have any inkling of anything about ANSCA. Well, whose fault is that? You know, I'd like to know whose fault is that. I do my best to educate anybody that comes along so that they can speak for themselves. I really appreciate it when people understand things that are happening. You just have to use the words so that they can understand and think for themselves, and things just click in their minds. Native people are just that way. They just click in their minds and they make their own decisions about things. And today, I really hope that the people that are sitting in this room will get up here and say something. I don't care if you think that your board of director might get mad, or your chief might get mad, or somebody might get mad about what you have to say. This here is for your own personal opinion to the Chief Justice here. And I really do have a lot of respect for this man. A high respect, a worldly respect. I don't respect him for Alaska or America. I do respect this man around the world as other people do around the world. I think that he is going to come up with some fine recommendations, and I am going to be looking for his recommendations when they come out. I want to see what he has to say. I want to see if he can help us any way to keep what we have today, what we gained. I feel like land claims was written to keep continuous use of the land forever for our own people, but it's not working out that way. It seems that they have forgotten what the land claims was written for after they got it written. They had to go through so much lawyers and things, and it's still going on every day. Waste, 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 lawyers. Politics is another deceiving thing too. All the laws that have come down are just teaching our people to be deceiving to each other. It's a real sad thing for me. That's about all I have to say. I just wish that the other people who came from the other villages do get up here and say something. No matter what you think, just say it. Just please say it. It is going to help us.
Thank you, Ms. Hare.
Hello, my name is Harold Huntington. I'm from Kaikoup, 28 miles downriver. And there's a few things that I'd like to bring up. And those are, I heard a little history on the land or the, on the natives around this area, but they haven't gone back far enough to really figure out how everything started. From all that I've read and heard, it's probably about started somewhere about 130 years ago or so, around 1850s, when the Russians first started coming up into the interior of Alaska. They came so far up, then they made some roadblocks. The natives put up some resistance to the invasions of the Russians. And the Russians, I think, seeing this roadblock, figured they had no alternatives but to get whatever they could for it. So they sold out for whatever they can get. And that piece of paper carried a lot of weight. It turned over a claim of land that was never really given up by the natives. And the natives really never gave it up. They never lost it to anyone, so it shouldn't have been. It shouldn't have been owned by anyone else but the natives. Anyway, it's since land claim settlement, there's been more changes in the last 20 years, and then 100 years, a couple hundred years to put together before that. That's how much changes there have been. And if you expect people to adjust to changes that fast, there's definitely something wrong with the system. Anyway, there's three areas that I'd like to point out, and that's the people as a whole. There are three different age groups that I think had been kind of forgotten, left out on the land claims. First, it's people born after 1971. They have very little benefits. And second, it's the people that were not quite 18 when the Land Claims Act was signed in 1971. Those people, like myself, have not really gotten anything, that have not seen nothing, just about nothing almost. A lot of talk, and that's about it. But there's another group of people that I think that's been forgotten, and that's the elders. They haven't really benefited. They probably saw a few dollars here and a few dollars there and little land here, but no title or no benefits. And it's not going to be, people can't live forever. Sooner or later, they're going to have to die, and they're not going to get anything out of it. So before it's too late, I'd like to see some kind of deal worked out where the elders can get what they earned, because they're the people that helped the, so to speak, helped the fort down. Anyway, this the land claims, to me, I think it turned off a lot of young people. You don't see hardly any young native leaders. You see mostly old people in the crowd. And to the young people, it's just been a letdown from one degree to another. I never did like the idea of the land claims. I think it's been one of the biggest rip-offs since the Indians' lower 48 got ripped off. That's where I feel, my opinion. Thank you.
I think I should say for the record that that the majority of the crowd seem to me to be younger people. At least they're a lot younger than I am, and I think we've got a pretty good cross-section of elders and people of middle age and young adults and younger people here today, and I'm very pleased to see it. I'm sorry, you wanted to speak, ma'am. Forgive me.
Good afternoon, Judge. I'm Pat Myers, City Manager of Galena, and I wish to take this opportunity to share with you a couple of the problems that the City of Galena has faced, particularly in reference to 14C3 land disposals. Some of our problems are not so much directly concerned with the 14C legislation as it is set up, but in terms of state legislation as it relates to how municipalities may dispose of lands. And we are hoping in the upcoming legislative year to begin to work with our legislator in regard to some of the problems that we see coming up. I have not, for a brief statement here, I have not enumerated the problems in great detail, and I'd be happy to do that in terms of looking more specifically at the legislation if that would be helpful. But more at this particular point, just to simply share the problem, and that is that the current state legislation as it is written for municipalities in disposing of land makes it extremely expensive and burdensome for the municipality when they work with disposing their 14C3 lands. Just another thought to share with you for the record, I think might be helpful for you to know, is an experience that the city of Galena just recently had in working with the 14C3 lands. And this was that the city of Galena did receive its interim conveyance on its lands, and I don't know if Pat Sweetser spoke to that or not. Did you speak to that, Pat? Okay. Well, just briefly, the thing that I might say then from our standpoint, if he's already spoken to that, he's probably covered some of the points. But one of the problems that we ran into, and for a small municipality, this is can't be a serious thing in terms of staff time and in terms of funds, is that it was one of the first, if not the first, experience with the interim conveyance. And of course that reverted the land back to Ghana U, and then we kind of had to start the cycle all over again. We had a lot of citizens that were waiting for loans on their homes. The title companies had never had any experience with this, with the interim conveyance and with this whole 14C3 municipal land disposal. Attorneys had had very little experience with it. Of course, the municipality had little experience with it. The title companies, you know, again, the same type of thing. And we found it just for everyone created quite a massive amount of paperwork and a massive amount of, we get one person happy with it, and then now the title company didn't like it, and then the title company would start to get happy with it, and the city attorney would feel like it posed problems for us, and then the bank would feel that, you know, there might be some problems for them. And it was just quite a long procedure, probably something like close to six months of a lot of work and expense on the part of all parties concerned to get it ironed out. It is a general feeling of some of those that have been involved with it is now that one municipality has been through it, that, you know, it may perhaps be easier for some of the other municipalities. But again, until we have some experience behind us, I don't think that we really know the answer to that. But again, we would like for you to be aware of some of the problems that municipalities are having as a result of this and the expenses that are coming forward for us. And I think that's all I'd really like to say, and we may get with you later on in some of the more detailed problems that we ran into. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Lynn Nicholas, and I'm from Caltech. And we came up to this hearing. We weren't prepared for it, but after sitting here listening to what everybody is saying, I can say that I got a lot of information out of it that I didn't know about, and some that we're going to bring home to Caltech and make sure the people hear about it. Following up on Royce about 19, you know, the children born after 1971, that they should be included in the land claims. I agree with him because I have four kids of my own, and only one of them is on the land claim settlement. And he's right in saying that it does divide the family, and it probably will later on too. And on fishing permits, and Dorothy? Donna? My husband, he's been trying to get a permit for ever since it started, and it's just because of, I mean, you know, like they said, if we work together, if the people here in the villages work together, you can get a lot of things out of it too. And I agree with her that, you know, the villagers in the town should get the permits. And Peter said that, you know, the herons, and not only him, another person say that this heron, you know, is something that's coming out too late, and I disagree with that because, like, now we're getting information out of it, and got a lot of young people coming in listening to it, and you know, they starting to speak up. So I hope to have more of these hearings.
Thank you.
For the people from out of town, I should say that if you decide to send a letter to the commission in Anchorage, feel free to do so. In other words, I'll be happy to hear from you in writing. If you want to send a letter, a written submission to my address in Anchorage, or if you have some people in the village who'd rather speak through cassettes, if you want to have a cassette made and send it to us in Anchorage, then I'll be happy to listen to it that way. I know some of the people, some of the older people, would rather do that than write it out. So,
Tom, would you give them the address?
Yeah. The address is 429 D Street, Anchorage. I'll repeat that, 429 D Street, Anchorage, Alaska, and the zip is 99501. Oh, someone's writing it on the blackboard. Good. Yes. Yes, anything you send in writing or that is submitted as testimony through the mail will be part of the record of the commission's proceedings. Yes. 99501. Oh, it's I'll write it down for you. Oops. Oops. Okay. Well, now at last we come to you.
Yeah. Good evening. I'm Goodwin Semikin, Jr. from Caltech. I'm a member of the city council, presently vice president. I've been on the council for the past 4 or 5 years. I'd like to talk on 14C, on what Pat had said, that we were in agreement to turn over or to get our 14C conveyed, what was originally owed us, $1,200. But we did not know at that time that when we were signing this agreement that we were being shortchanged 700 acres. And you can go down to the city of Caltech and ask everyone, the council members, and I'm pretty sure they'll agree with me on that. Because that was news to me when this came out just a couple months ago, when we had found out that Ganiyu had taken over the rest of our 14C selection. To me, that the reason I got kind of ticked off about it was right now, Max said that he does not believe in selling an inch of Ganiyu land. I disagree with him because right now he's selling a piece of land down in Caltech. And my biggest gripe is what's going to happen to our residents, 700 acres that was owed to people of Caltech. Are they going to turn around and sell it back to them or what? That kind of agreement, compared to Glina, we're a lot different than Glina. He used Glina as an example, the 14C, as the agreement went along. We had a little land sale down there this last March, and there was only a few people that bid on it.
That was at Caltech.
Yes. Yeah. That was we were after this to develop our area. We were after Ganiyu since I got on the council. And we had finally got an agreement with them, and this one we got clear title to that section of land, and we had a land sale right then, which wasn't very high. I think it was about 5 cents a square acre. And we had all local people bid on it. But I hope that we could eventually, our traditional council could develop the land, or we could put the rest of the land that we gave the gun to you, I guess I could say gave it to them now, would have been stored away for future kids down in Caltech, not for the whole corporation. Because, like you said, Glenn already had their land sale and whatever. The people lost out here, but they can come down, probably buy land down Caltech later on, or on that issue. As far as land claims concerned, I don't see where it really had helped us. The corporation had moved up here, which was the only thing to do at that time. And there's no employment whatsoever. It's just serving the hub right here, the Galena. It's the hub, I guess. Very little employment from their part, or their regional, for that matter. Well, that's about all I had to say, I think. Maybe Pat or Max have it to say that.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I might as well be next because I'm getting dry. And, okay, the first time...